I'm just going to try to center myself and just pray the pray with Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you can pray with me if you want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God is good. So this subject I tried to approach is a big subject. And as I try to be studious, you know, and get my scriptures, it just started exploding. And I would get lost. But in where how I should present it and how to bring it to you. But the subject is, I entitled it The Word. Okay. Does anybody have a scripture that starts out with the two words, the Word? I want you guys to be involved. Perfect. The word is not, well, first, Cooper's.
Yeah.
Cooper's is, let's hold that one.
Okay.
What's yours, Danny? The word is nigh thee and even in thy mouth, right? How about the word is quick and powerful, meaning living or alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What about that one? Okay, so now we're going to go to Cooper. What's your say? All right. So when we say the word, we're talking about Jesus, right? And so I've had a dilemma. Through this, my whole walk with the Lord, you know, well, shortly after I received the Lord, where I entered into, you know, the faith movement, all the it was good teaching, positive, and it was a lot of the preachers were bringing the Word of God, bringing Jesus. They were actually sharing what the Holy Spirit would have them to share, but then. A lot of what I did, not being discipled, not ever really hearing the Lord tell me he loved me, I turned it into a religion, right? So, a book changed my life back then and started me on a different path. And the book that I... I have it right here. I'm going to I shared it with Danny earlier. I'll give you a couple quotes out of it and tell you why it just and you'll see why it destroyed where I was back in the middle of the faith movement. One of the scriptures says, "We have taken faith out of the realm of the spiritual and without realizing just what we were doing, have put it in the realm of the metaphysical. And an army of emotions and desires has driven faith from the chambers of our heart into the cold and unfruitful quarters of our mind." And he restated later, he said, "We have made faith a condition of the mind when it is divinely imparted grace of the heart. So there's a couple kinds of faith, right? There's Abraham's faith. Abraham, the Lord came to Abraham. Let's go to that scripture. Genesis 15. And Abraham said, God, I start with two. What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the stewardship of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one board of my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. The word. Keep that in mind. The word of the Lord came unto him. This shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thy own bowels, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. That's key. He believed in the saying. And he counted it to him for righteousness. So, there's another kind of faith too. And it's really not faith. It's really kind of hope. But it's not bad. Hope is not bad. But we've taken faith. We've taken hope and called it faith. Faith, the kind you're talking about right here, faith, what I'm trying to convey, is that which God delivers to you, and you know that everything is provided with it. So let me give a personal example for y'all. Okay, so everyone in here, I believe, is born again, right? There was a day when you were in despair, and you knew that you probably were going to hell, or you probably thought, as a Catholic, I'm basically a good guy. So you're relying on being basically a good guy. But then there was a time outside of yourself, all of a sudden, you believed. Every one of you has experienced that if you're born again. And you believe to the point of you can't shake it. You believe, you know you're going to believe until forever. But months before or weeks before, the day before, you did not have that. So what's the difference? Well, it's Jesus. What I'm trying to convey in this message is that same assurance can happen for everything in your life. But that's what discipleship's about, right? I mean, with Jim's message, I kind of got a little clearer on this. Is that whenever the Lord speaks to us, like, many in this room have had the Lord drop something in you, and you know it's from Him, besides salvation. But it's the same thing. It's Jesus. And it's real faith. And I keep giving these examples. But Danny, y'all know about Brendan. He was way premature, way underweight. Survivability in the natural, I didn't hear it. What they said, and I didn't want to. Probably didn't seem, very good. And I'm sure there was concern. And when Danny was praying, the Lord gave him a word. He said, Brendan will thrive. And the way Danny testifies of it is he never doubted after that point. That's faith. Okay, so here's the dilemma. And this has always bugged me. What about if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, be ye removed into the ocean, it'll be removed. I'm like, yeah, that's the kind of faith I have. Yeah, that's the kind of, God, yeah, that's the kind of, I'm going to go ahead and believe for that faith. Okay. That was a dilemma. That is a dilemma. And there's other things. Ask anything in my name to the Father and he'll do it. Well, I've asked a lot of things in my name to the Father. And I'm using my faith for it. Well, there's a lot of things I can show that when I did that, it didn't happen. Are we talking about faith or hope when we pray like that? So my point is when Danny had this experience about Brendan, he had that, and he still does, for that situation, and we can have it more and more in our lives, the faith as a grain of mustard seed. And if it wasn't that God had told Danny that Brendan would thrive, but said, Danny, throw that mountain into the sea, he wouldn't doubt, because God gave it to him and that mountain would be cast into the sea. This is the real faith. And we have taken faith and think it's a quality of our soul or our will or keeping our confession straight, and it's not. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? The word of God. What's the word of God? The word is quick, which is alive and powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword. The word is Jesus. And it's hard to separate the real faith from Jesus. So this is kind of convicting because, I get words like Danny has too. That's how the Lord speaks with me sometimes. Others get visions and dreams, but I'll be praying and praying and praying and get a word, man, and that's right, and I'll step out on it. You know, like there's been different things, which if I believed it, there's consequences. Like you might have to quit your job if you believe this, but then I'm not ready to quit, you know, financially. But I believed it. And I knew that the Lord would provide. I had faith of a grain of mustard seed because it didn't look good if I got fired. But God gave it to me. So this, it comes with a price. I find that these words come more often in relation to the frequency I spend in prayer, in worship, in fellowship among each other, with each other. Because he's in the midst. You know, it says that where two or three are gathered, Jesus there is in the midst. So let me move on a little bit. There are, not, I think there's 19 accounts of Jesus healing somebody in the New Testament. And 12 of them, in 12 of them, he said, thy faith has made thee whole. I'm like, whoa, holy smokes. Thy faith, those people must have had some faith. Thy faith has made thee whole. And I'm like, no. If to look at it, in that day before Christ went to the Father and sent the Holy Ghost back, right? He's trying to show us as much as he can show us. Okay, let's take, for example, the woman with the issue of blood. So the woman with the issue of blood, okay, just picture this and then correlate it to maybe you seeking after the Lord. That's all that was on this woman's mind. She's gone through suffering, and Jim's taught us how to embrace suffering. She's gone through suffering. She's been focused. She's breaking through the crowd, pushing through the crowd, trying to get to Jesus. And she finally touches Jesus. And virtue goes out from him, and she's healed. And what did she do? It's not like her faith changed all of a sudden and she got healed. She got to the presence of Jesus and she was healed. And Jesus then said, okay, and that's what happened here. What happened here, I believe, is just like I've been speaking about the faith that God gives you when he speaks to you. He tells you a word. He then illuminates the power of the Holy Spirit and faith in you to just believe that you can throw that mountain to the sea. The same thing here. Pressed into Jesus, and then Jesus says, thy faith has made thee whole. Just look at the centurion. Same thing. But there's a shocking statement that Jesus makes. The centurion had his servant was ill and probably going to die. And the centurion, obviously a believer, and even though he's a Roman centurion with 100 troops under him, he presses on and he gets to Jesus and tells Jesus about his servant. And the servant, how the servant needs to be healed. But Jesus, this is a shocking thing that Jesus said. Jesus said, and his disciples are right here. He says, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. And I'm like, I asked myself at that point, well, what's the difference? If he had the great faith like that, why didn't he just pray and heal his servant? If Jesus thought he had that great of faith, the greatest faith in all of Israel, then the Lord show me what was missing. Is that centurion, although he had that faith, and it was probably hope, you know, it was probably, you know, faith on the come kind of thing. He came to Jesus. He got in Jesus' presence. And then the servant was healed, and Jesus said, what did he say? Thy faith has made him whole. Amen? So, this thing that... There's tons more. Like I said, there's 12 more occurrences where Jesus said that. And I'm like, these people don't even have the Holy Spirit. And they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're saying that their faith has made them whole. But the difference is that they got into Jesus' presence. And Jesus, you know, back in the Old Testament, and this is what this is really. This is still Old Testament before Jesus, you know, went and sent the Holy Spirit back and all that and suffered and died. But God imparted the Spirit to people for in measure, for purposes, for, you know, look at Abraham. Look at everything, you know, the prophets, you know, for he'll infuse, Jesus will come to them and empower them. But we have a better covenant than that. But we try to live like that. We try to live like from impartation when we need Jesus. You know, we try to live like, well, that's the model right there, because if I'm a man of God, then God's going to swoop in and give me the power to do something. When we have a better covenant where it's not just a great God that we serve, it's a great God that we know. They really didn't know God, but we know him. And we seem to default back to living for a God we know. I mean, serving a God we know, and instead of knowing God. I got that all mixed up. But you know what I mean. But That's the whole deal, is we kind of default, we always default back to the Old Testament, it seems like. And we have a better covenant based on better promises. And Jesus, you know, is alive and wants to let us live in this rhythm where he can speak. He's always speaking to us. I mean, there's nothing like spooky or anything like that. He's trying to tell us everything we need right now. He's trying to give us words like that on a constant basis. He wants us to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, right? How do we do that? How can you live by every word out of the mouth of the Lord? It's impossible. It's impossible. However, it could be more frequent in our lives if we draw close to him more often, right? Christ, he'll reveal himself that way. Let me see where I am in my thing here. Let's see. So we know about Thomas's faith, right? Thomas had to see it before he believed it. That's kind of how we are sometimes, a lot of times, especially if we haven't been in prayer and worship. Abraham's faith, he was told it, and so then he went and believed it. Let's look at Abraham in Hebrews 4:16. Is that right? No. Maybe it's Romans. I think it's Romans. I'm Mr. Prepared. Okay, yeah. Therefore, it is of faith. It's 4:16, Romans. Therefore, it is of faith that we might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, I can pretend that was the scripture, but that wasn't. But that's a good scripture. that's good, because that's God kind of faith. So how could you possibly, well, he's talking about how God does it. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Okay, so oh, that's good. Let's read that one. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Yeah, this is it, Peggy, thanks. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us alone, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Yeah. Oh, that is Romans 4:20 through the end of it. Okay. So there's other things too that always bug me, and I'm wondering. I'm in this dilemma between natural faith, which really is hope, and real faith that always accomplishes what it's there for. So, and the dilemma comes with some of these scriptures, but you have to then sort them out with him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, so is he talking about head faith? No. So what's that mean? How are you going to, if you want to please God, you got to know him in the power of his resurrection. That's the faith he's talking about. That which is not faith is sin. Oh my gosh. That's pretty broad. That which is not faith is sin. And you know, God is such a loving God. He knows where we're all at. If anybody's hearing that I'm not there, oh God, I'm doomed, or I'm in trouble, or anything like that, God is not he's a loving father, right? He knows the hairs on everybody's head. He knows you've never surprised him. Even though you've hid a lot of stuff, he already knows about that stuff, and he still loves you. He loves you no matter what. And he loves you as the perfect father that knows that you're where you're at. He knows where you're at, and he knows why you're where you're at, and he doesn't condemn that either. He just loves you right there. He's not an angry judge. So I want to put that in there, because sometimes when I say stuff, that which is not faith is sin. Okay, oh man, I'm in sin because I'm not in faith a lot. You know, he knows our state, right? He knows where we're at, like I was saying. But God is good. But how does this all work? Here's another one that brings a dilemma. Oh yeah, I already told this one. If thou has a grain, faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can ask for a mountain to be cast in the sea and it'll be to do it. I was like, Lord, that's starting to make me not believe the Bible. Right? Or something like that. How can someone do that? Well, he who has spiritual ears, let them hear. It's not of the mind. It's this faith I'm talking about. And hearken back to when you were born again and when you weren't. It's the faith that came. That faith, that's the faith that, when if the Lord would say at that point, that would cast a mountain into the sea. Because the reason being is you have no doubt whatsoever. Because you know it's from him, it didn't come from you. Yeah, and the other one I said was, you can ask anything of the Father in my name and he will do it. So, sorry about my disorganization. So let's go back to David's submission. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. The Word. So the reason I'm going here is because back in the day when I was first a Christian in the faith movement, we also call it the Word movement, right? The Word. And up until I started reading this stuff, I didn't realize it, but every time I'd say the Word, I would think of Logos. Yeah, the Word. And just believe the Word. When everybody say believe the Word, believe the Word. The Word is not Logos. It's Logos that is quickened. Although the scripture that says, you know, the Word is sharpening, two-edged sword, that one there. It, and even the Greek word in John 1, word, it says logos. So that's, what's that? That's written word, right? However, that key scripture in where it's quick and powerful, the word quick, which means alive, now that shifts it. That's talking about a living Jesus. He's alive. And the word's alive. So, it's just, to me, did anybody else do that too? You got to believe in the word. What do you think about when someone says you got to believe in the word? Do you just think about, I got to believe the promises of the Bible? But the word is Jesus, the quickened word. The quickened word is what gives you the faith for any individual thing he's speaking to you, to take the faith of a grain of mustard seed that can take a mountain and cast it in the sea. That's what the word is. It's the living, it's all tied together. Jesus quickens you the word. When he quickens the word, he's the quickened word, then the faith to achieve what he's told you is present with no doubt. I'm going to leave it there. I don't want to rehash, but that's what I'm just trying to get across, is that faith is real faith, the faith that we all are looking for, the faith that accomplishes what we need to have done in our life through prayer or whatever, comes through the word, which is the quickened word, and that's Jesus. And that's it's changed me, because I always kind of had trouble witnessing to people, because I put a lot of pressure on myself to talk them into it. But what really has to happen, right, is what happened to us. Is when we pray for someone now, even healing or anything, where they need faith to be healed. Some folks need faith to be healed. Well, we pray for them, especially, and then for being born again, is, or for the Holy Spirit, is, Lord, we pray that you would reveal to them what you reveal to us or to me, or show them the faith of the Son of God, because that's how they're born again. Give them the faith that passes all understanding. We pray for that for them, instead of whatever the sinner's prayer is we used to pray. We pray that Jesus be revealed to them, because they cannot be born again with mental faith or mental assent. They have to have the faith of the Son of God. Now put healing in there. If you're believing for healing, you can't be healed by saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. You can be healed by the faith of the Son of God. So we pray for them to receive the faith of the Son of God to be healed. For being born, for being filled with the Holy Spirit, if we try to do it through mental understanding, it's tough. So we pray, Father, that you would reveal the faith of the Son of God to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. And I'm going to pray for everybody right here that's heard this, because the Holy Spirit's here. Father, I lift everybody up here. Lord, you've touched with your word and with your Holy Spirit everyone's heart here at one time or another. And you may be touching someone anew in a certain area. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would seal them with this truth and let it arise in them and allow them to walk in it so they can know you and know you in the power of your resurrection.